It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable Mark Molinaro from the 19th Congressional District of New York. Great to see you.
Glad to be with you. Thanks.
Okay. Welcome to Congress, and can I say welcome to the House Ag Committee as well?
Well, I appreciate it. We talked some time ago, but you know, I wanted to serve on the Ag Committee. First, I've got a great deal of respect for G.T. Thompson and the fact that the Ag Committee works in a bipartisan way. But I come from a part of the state of New York where agriculture remains the largest industry. When you marry it with tourism, it's hundreds of thousands of jobs across the state of New York. And so this year with Farm Bill reauthorization, it was a critical time and is a critical time, not only to establish America's agriculture policy for food security, but I see, and I think we all agree, the Farm Bill is also national security and the preservation of America's capacity to produce and, by the way, produce enough for us and other parts of the globe. So a really important time to be on the committee and looking forward to the work.
Now, you've had the opportunity to really travel across the U.S. You've seen a lot of different areas of agriculture, and it's a little different than back home because, again, you travel some of those big farms out west. What's important for people to remember as far as the sizes of ag operations?
Sure.
In other words, not having in our mind that this farm has to be 400 or it has to be 4,000.
Yeah, well, it has to be both. You know, we need to produce where we can produce, where the climate is such, the soils are good, the capacity to grow and certainly maintain livestock. We've got to have active farm where active farm needs to be. And so in New York, what that means is several hundred acres, maybe a few thousand here and there, but they're a patchwork of farmers that generally, by the way, have to work together and need the capacity to collaborate in order to meet supply needs, in order to open up markets, in order to produce and transport. That's a little bit different than the Midwest or even the West. But those are different challenges. And so America needs both of those to function effectively, to produce enough for ourselves, but also, of course, to be a leader in the world. What I will say is in upstate New York in particular, you know, we combat high cost of doing business, New York State's high taxes, high insurance, high energy cost, outward pressure, city population pushing and putting pressure on active farmland for development. And so you have that burden on farmers. You also then have the need to work around some interesting weather and climate conditions. And so the challenges are somewhat unique. However, the need is the same. How do we make the Farm Bill, how do we make agriculture policy support farmers, big and small? How do we ensure we're moving the needle to make it easier, get the regulations out of the way, make sure the left hand in the federal government knows what the right hand's doing? Sometimes, by the way, in the federal government, the left hand doesn't even know there is a right hand, and that affects farming. And then how, projecting forward, do we ensure that we're removing the barriers to ensure that America's farmers can produce and compete? And no one can produce and compete better than America's farmers.
Dairy Margin Coverage Program obviously is extremely important for some of your producers. Is that a high priority for you?
It is a very high priority for my farmers and for small dairy farms like the ones I represent. Now, not every dairy farm is the same. But making sure production data is updated. You know, the current law fixes it in time as opposed to making sure that we're looking at that production data over the last average of the last several years. We hope to change that. And then raising the caps, important to farmers like the ones I represent. And so critically important, also important for dairy in upstate New York in particular, but small dairy farms, is opening up the logical markets. You know, in New York, you can buy cannabis, but we don't sell milk, whole milk, in our schools. Why? It's illegal. Think about that. And so opening up the more traditional and logical buyers to American dairy, in particular New York dairy, will go a long way to ensuring the solvency and success of dairy farms, not only in New York, but throughout the country.
We are talking reauthorization of a new farm bill. But you really can't talk farm bill unless you talk SNAP. Yeah. That's the majority of the Farm Bill dollars.
Sure.
What are you watching there?
Yeah, so 85% of the dollars go to nutrition programming, SNAP. I think we took an important step during the debt ceiling conversation, which was to sort of reaffirm that we want SNAP to be a supportive benefit, right? We want folks to get access to quality nutrition while also bettering themselves and getting back into the workforce, et cetera, and doing it in a way that's compassionate to those who are most vulnerable. I grew up on food stamps. It was a benefit to my mother to get herself back on her feet, and were it not for food stamps and supportive lunch at school, we would have been absent that benefit. It was really necessary and helpful to my mom to get back to a level of independence. For the last 12 years prior to coming to Congress, I was a county executive in New York, and what that means is I had to administer the social services for 300,000 county residents. I have seen what states like New York and Illinois and California have done with food stamps. They've become very good at processing checks, but not so good at supporting people. And they've created, using federal dollars, they take federal taxpayer money, it's not the government money, government's money, it's the taxpayer's money, and they use it to support their infrastructure, their government infrastructure, their bureaucracy. And they've created a system, SNAP, social services, et cetera, that dehumanizes people. When these programs, like SNAP, are meant to help people get to a level of independence, both food independence and security and economic independence and security, I'm focused on making sure that the dollars we dedicate to SNAP are effectively used, that we're changing the method from processing checks to truly helping people, and I think that's an important next step, sort of refocusing the mission statement of SNAP as a benefit, which isn't to at all undermine its purpose. We have to help the most vulnerable, but we need to do it in a way that helps people achieve the independence they seek for themselves, and that's what we're focused on.
It's hard to legislate love.
Yeah.
But it really, I think that's part of what you're describing there is moving past just program after program and finding a way to make a difference on the individual level. Can we do that?
Yeah, actually, I'm glad you put it that way. We can't legislate love, but if we start from the place of love, we can legislate in order to achieve it. And I think that's a really, you described it better than I could. But I would say to you that we have now a system of social services that makes people feel worth less. And when we can have a system that is compassionate and caring to help people understand the value that they have, not only for themselves, but for community and society. And so if we use the tools like SNAP and other social service benefits, we shouldn't hollow them out. We should make them more caring, more compassionate, and more collaborative to help people get the support that they need. My mom was undiagnosed with depression during that time that we lived on food stamps. Had there been the wraparound support, the additional mental health supports that states have today, but they operate in silos, she would have been diagnosed earlier, and perhaps she would have had a more independent life. She would have had more success. If we can identify those things using the tools we have, instead of just cutting the check, but rather creating the compassion and the collaboration necessary, we can truly help people. And those most vulnerable deserve a government that cares about them and respects them and helps them get to the level of independence they seek for themselves. Not the independence I determine for you, but the level of independence you can achieve for yourself, and that reestablishes your wealth, your self-worth, and the value, and we reassert a value, and the value we have for every individual life.
So great to visit with you.
Same
Thank
here.
You for your time. Will you come back and see us?
Absolutely. Thanks very much.
Again, it's the Honorable Mark Molinaro from the 19th Congressional District of New York, and joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.